Apple has two significant stories this week, and they're connected in ways that the individual headlines don't fully capture. The first is the price hike. Apple has raised prices on MacBooks and iPads, with Reuters attributing the increases to skyrocketing memory costs. The second is the strategic chip news from Bloomberg. Apple is skipping the high-end M6 chip variants entirely, no M6 Pro, M6 Max, or M6 Ultra, and jumping straight to an M7 line designed specifically around AI workloads.
The 1,065 comments on the price hike story make it the most commented piece on HN this week by a significant margin. And the sentiment in those comments is complex. It's not just sticker shock. It's a broader reckoning with what Apple's product line is becoming. A lot of the commenters who've been loyal Apple customers for 15 or 20 years are articulating a feeling that the value proposition has shifted. You're paying premium prices for hardware, whose premium features increasingly assume you want to use Apple's AI services.
From a market dynamics perspective, the memory cost explanation is real. LPDDR5X memory prices have risen significantly due to supply constraints from consolidation in the memory manufacturing sector. Samsung, SK Hynix, and Micron together control the vast majority of global DRAM production, and when any of them has capacity issues, the pricing effects ripple through every device manufacturer. Apple's margins are sufficient to absorb some of that, but they've apparently made the decision to pass a portion through to consumers rather than compress margins.
The M6 skip is the more strategically interesting story. Bloomberg's reporting suggests the M7 line will have substantially more dedicated neural engine capacity and on-device inference bandwidth than the M6 would have. The timing is deliberate. Apple wants to be in a position to run significantly more sophisticated AI models locally, without cloud dependency, before the next major device cycle. That's a direct response to the competitive pressure from Qualcomm's Snapdragon X Elite, which has been making serious inroads in the Windows laptop market, specifically on AI benchmark performance.
The 275 comments on the M6 skip story included a lot of speculation about what AI-focused actually means in hardware terms. The distinction that kept coming up was between AI accelerators designed for inference, running existing models, versus those designed for training. Apple's on-device strategy is firmly inference-oriented, which is the right call for a consumer device company. Training at scale still requires data center infrastructure, but the inference story is increasingly where consumer AI experience is won or lost.
Meanwhile, IBM announced what they're calling the world's first sub-1 nanometer chip technology. This requires some context because nanometer in semiconductor manufacturing has become a somewhat abstract marketing term rather than a literal physical measurement. When IBM says sub-1 nanometer, they're referring to the effective transistor gate length in their latest process node, which is genuinely at the boundary of what silicon-based physics was thought to be capable of 5 years ago.
The 175 HN comments on the IBM story had a lot of technical depth around what physical mechanisms are even available at that scale. At sub-nanometer dimensions, quantum tunneling effects become dominant. Electrons can pass through barriers they classically shouldn't be able to cross, which creates leakage current and heat dissipation problems that don't exist at larger scales. The IBM announcement implies they've found a way to manage these effects, possibly through new gate dielectric materials or novel transistor geometries. The research paper details will matter enormously here. The HN community was appropriately skeptical about headline claims pending peer review.
From a geopolitical perspective, IBM's announcement also lands in the context of intense competition with TSMC, Samsung, and SMIC in China. The U.S.-China semiconductor competition has been one of the defining industrial policy stories of the 2020s, and any genuine advancement in domestic U.S. chip manufacturing capability has significant strategic implications beyond the product roadmap.
Let's also talk about Framework's 10-gigabit Ethernet module and the USB-C complexity story, because Jeff Geerling's write-up is one of the most technically illuminating pieces this week. Framework's modular laptop system uses expansion cards that fit into USB-C ports, which sounds straightforward until you actually try to push 10 gigabit networking through USB-C and discover that the spec is an onion with many, many layers.
Geerling's piece is essentially a guided tour through the USB-C specification's complexity. USB-C isn't just a connector shape, it's a protocol negotiation framework that can carry USB data, DisplayPort, Thunderbolt, HDMI, power delivery, and now 10 gigabit Ethernet, all over the same physical pins. The catch is that all of these protocols have different electrical requirements, timing constraints, and compatibility profiles. Getting 10 gigabit per sec Ethernet to work reliably requires the host controller, the cable, the module firmware, and the operating system drivers to all agree on which protocol mode they're in at gigahertz frequencies without interference from everything else sharing the same connector.
The 100 HN comments included several from people who work in USB-C certification and driver development, and the consistent theme was that the spec's flexibility is also its Achilles heel. The more things USB-C can do, the more surface area for implementation bugs and compatibility failures. Framework's approach of building a modular ecosystem around USB-C is ambitious, precisely because it requires getting all of those implementation details right across a huge matrix of hardware and software configurations.
The Oxide Computer 3D Rack Guided Tour also fits naturally into this infrastructure conversation. Oxide, the company Brian Cantrell co-founded, has been building what they describe as cloud infrastructure without the usual abstraction layers, and they've published a 3D virtual tour of their rack architecture. The 155 HN comments were enthusiastic about the hardware transparency. Oxide publishes their designs in ways that most server hardware companies don't, which aligns with their philosophical commitment to making the entire stack legible.